If we're holding on Lamed Omer Aleph, six lines from the top. Lamed Omer Aleph. Yep. So we learned yesterday, we were discussing the question of which girls do the dinim of knas apply to. And we mentioned a machloikus between Shimon HaTimni and Shimon ben Manasseh, whether the basic thing is whether you're able to do kedushin with this, whether you would be able to do kedushin with this girl, or even if kedushin are typhus, do you need even more than that? Do you need that you would be allowed to stay married to them? And we talked about the various permutations where you have a case where kedushin are typhus, where you're not allowed to stay married according to the different opinions. So Amar of Chista, Hakol Moedim, everybody would agree. In that six lines from the top. Six lines from the top of Lamed Omer Aleph. Everybody would agree, but Baal Nida, that if he has relations, or in the Sopitu, with a Nida, Shemeshalim Knas, that then there's no question he pays the Knas. Why? To the girl, or to her father. The point is, we said with the Chayvik Krisis that it talked about in the Mishnah had said that you pay a Knas for the Chayvik Krisis, the sister, the aunt, etc. We said that when Nidia is also Chayiv Karis, the point is, but the difference is, we said, as far as the relatives that are Chayiv Karis, the difference is, according to Shimon HaTimni, Kedushin are not even Typhus in them. Therefore, you can't say on that Veloiti Elisha. But when it comes to Nidia, Lamanda Omer Yesh Bahabaya, according to Shimon HaTimni's understanding of Veloiti Elisha, that it has to be somebody you're capable of doing Kedushin with, well, you have Konam Yesh Bahabaya. There's Havaya, you're able to do Kedushin with a Nidah, you're able to make Kaddish a woman when she's Nidah. Yeah, it would be a Chuppas Nidah. So we talked about earlier in the Masechta, really a lot of Rishonim do have a problem, really, with Chuppas Nidah.
Correct.
Right? Because we're not talking about Bia, we're talking about the Kedushin. The Kedushin can be done. We learned in Yevamos, actually, that even Rabbi Akiva, even the opinions that say that even Shimon HaTimni says Chayva Krisis, even Rabbi Akiva says Chayva Lavin, even possibly Chayva Ese, etc. We learned there in Yevamos that we learned from a pasuk over there that everybody agrees that Kedushin are Tofus with a Nida. So, Kedushin and Chuppah are two different things. So, as far as Chuppah Nida, we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, not all the Rishonim are really happy with the idea of Chuppah Nida because they hold that a Chuppah has to be something where it's capable of leading to Bia. And right now, this one is not. The reason why we're not doing it, basically, is because of the different definitions of what Chuppah is. We talk about whether Chuppah is standing under the Chuppah as we do nowadays, or the Yichud room, or whatever. So, as a matter of fact, when you have a Chuppah Nida nowadays, they're not the Yichud alone in the Yichud room. They leave the door open in order to avoid Yichud. But here we're talking about Kedushin. Everybody agrees. You can do Kedushin with a Nida. Therefore, Yesh Bahabaya. Lamanda Amar Ru'uya L'Kaima, and according to Rav Shimon ben Manasseh's understanding of Veloiti Elisha, that it has to be somebody you'd be able to stay married to. Good. Hanami Ru'uya L'Kaima. Good. A Nida also you're allowed to stay married to. Now, what's the point of that? So this comes to tell us not like Rabbi Nachman ben Akana. Now Rashi says that no. And Rashi says when we say Ula Puki, it's actually not referring back to what Rav Chista just said. It's actually referring back to our Mishnah. When our Mishnah told us that there's a list of Chayvei Krisis, a sister, an aunt, etc., where even though you're Chayvei Karis, you still have to pay the Knas. That differs with Rabbi Nachman ben Akana.
So we're excluding this case of Chuppas Nida from the other.
No. According to Rashi, these two things that we just learned are this thing that we learned from Rabbi Chista is not connected with this next piece. We learned Rabbi Chista is saying, to complete the discussion from before about Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, that even though there's a machloikus whether you have to pay the knas in the case of Chayve Krisis, in the case of Chayve Lavin, Chayve Efe, etc., but everybody would agree, even though Nida, the Chiyuv Karis, nevertheless, that since Kedushin are Tofus and you're allowed to stay married to her, therefore there'd be a knas. Now, according to Rashi at this point, we're setting all that aside, and now we're going on to a new topic. When the Mishnah had given us a list of Chayve Krisis and said that you're Chayev to pay a knas for them, that disagrees with Rabbi Nachman ben Akana. Tosfos is the one that says that there's a connection between these two statements. This that Rav Chista just said, that Baal HaNida, you have to pay a knas, that would be not according to Rabbi Nachman ben Akana. Because, according to Rabbi Nachman ben Akana, true, you have, however you look at the word Veloiti Elisha, you would say that you're allowed to do kiddushin and you're allowed to stay married. But on the other hand, Rav Nachman ben Akana is going to say that the rule of kam le'vidunav minei that we discussed yesterday applies to kares as well. So let's learn the Gemara, and that'll become a little more clear. The Tanya. Rav Nachman ben Akana haya oseh yom kippurim k'shabbos l'tashlumin. Rav Nachman ben Akana held that Yom Kippur is just like Shabbos as far as payment. So again, we started talking yesterday about kam le'vidunav minei, the idea that if you do something where there's a monetary component to it as well as a chiyuv misa, then the person gets misa and therefore they're exempt from the payment. Kam le'vidunav minei, they get the harsher punishment. Now that applies to misa based din. Fine, everybody agrees to that. Does it apply also therefore, suppose, for example, a person goes, and the example that Rashi gives over here from the Gemara and Bava Kamma is, let's say a person goes and sets somebody else's stack of grain on fire on Shabbos. So he should be chayev for the damages, but he's chayev misa for setting a fire on Shabbos. Kam le'vidunav minei, we execute him and we don't make him pay for the grain. What about if it was Yom Kippur? The Chachamim would say it doesn't matter. Yom Kippur, the Chachamim would say, there's no kam le'vidunav minei over there. Yom Kippur, there's no chiyuv misa space. Then it's only karis. Only karis. Well, then fine. You can get karis and still have to pay. Rav Nachman ben Akana says that they're the same thing. Just like you would be potter, ma Shabbos mischayev v'nafshe, potter v'nafshish woman, just like if you set the haystack on fire on Shabbos, you're chayev for your own life, you're subject to the death penalty, therefore potter v'nafshish woman, and you're potter from paying. Af yema kapurim mischayev v'nafshe, potter v'nafshish woman, oh, hello. Therefore, the same thing Yom Kippur also, you're mischayev v'nafshe, you're chayev kares, and therefore you're potter from paying. So, therefore, when we're saying in our Mishnah that habar l'choysei, that a Baal HaChosei, etc., has to pay the knas, or what Rav Chisda just said about a Baal HaNida, that would not be according to Rav Nachman ben Akana.
Because
for him, Karis is the same as Mrs. Basting. So we're going to learn later in the parak, the next mission.
Yeah, one and you don't have the other.
Right, so the next mission in the parak is going to mention cases where there's Mrs. Basting, where everybody agrees there's no knas there. But that would have to be that they gave Masurah for Malkus. That's a whole different matter. We're going to talk about as we go through the sugya over here. We're going to talk about whether this thing of kam le'vidunav minei, whether it applies to malkus, whether it applies to shogeg, b'mezid, etc. My time is Rav Nachman ben Akana. Okay, what's Rav Nachman ben Akana's reasoning? Why does he say that kares is the same as Mrs. Basin? Amar Abaya. We make a gzeir shava. Nema osin bidei adam and nema osin bidei shemayim. We have two psukim in the Torah where it uses the word osin. One of them is in Parshas Mishpatim. It describes that the two people are fighting. They hit a pregnant woman and they make a miscarry. V'lo yeh osin, but there's no osin. Then we say the person is punished. He has to pay dmei vladis. He has to pay. He has to pay the woman's husband the value, basically how much she lost in value. A pregnant woman is worth more on the slave market than a woman who's not pregnant.
Doesn't mean if she had died.
Well, so what Osirin over there was saying. So what are we saying? The pasuk is saying the lawyer Osirin. If there's no Osirin, which the pastor means that she didn't die, that's when we punish them, implying that if there was Osain, if she had died, we would actually execute the person for killing her, which, by the way, that's a whole other, there's Macholikus and Sanhedrin, actually, on that point, because are we talking about, on the face of it, when you read the pasuk, that they weren't intending to kill her, they were fighting, and she got caught in the crossfire. We might discuss over there the pros and cons of whether we actually mean that he meant to kill her or not. Whatever it is. Or whether you have the din, for example, if a person intends to kill Reuven and kill Shimon, where in this case he's intending to kill the other guy he's fighting with and he winds up killing her. That's a whole other discussion. Let's not get into that.
It actually means money. It doesn't actually mean...
No, so the word also, in modern Hebrew, also means a disaster. But in Tanakh, in Chumash, the implication is when we say lo yeh osain, onesh yeh onesh, if there's no osain, then we punish the guy by making him pay money. The implication is that osain means a death, means something that involves a death penalty.
If there is, we don't.
If there is a death penalty, then we don't. Now, that's one place where it says Austin. There's a death penalty you had by Basin. Well, everybody agrees to that. Wait. Rav Nachman ben Akana we're talking about over here. So that's Austin bidei Adam. It says over there, Austin talking about a case where there's Mrs. Basin. Then we have another pasuk that uses the word Austin. This is talking about somebody dying bidei Shemayim. From a natural disaster or whatever. Namely, when Yaakov doesn't want to send Binyamin together with his brothers to Mitzrayim, he says Penyakru anu Osain. What if an Osain happens? And later on also when Yehuda is arguing with Yosef, he points that out, that he didn't want him to go because something might happen to him on the way. Yeah. No, so again, we're saying the word also means some kind of death.
Yeah.
It means death.
It doesn't mean an accident.
No. In modern Hebrew also means there's a disaster. But then in Tanakh we're saying it means
general
a death. Yeah. So you have the word Osain, in other words, so in short, in other words, we have one place where the word Osain means Mrs. Bastin, and another place where, because again, how do we understand the pasuk by the pregnant woman? The Loyeh Osain, if the person is not going to be Chayiv Mrs. Bastin, Onish Yonish, that's when we fine him and make him pay the Dmei Vladis. As opposed to if there is Osain, if he's going to be executed, then we don't make him pay. Then you have by Binyamin Osain Bidei Shemayim, where Yaakov is nervous that something's going to happen to him on the way. Ma osain om bidei adam patur min nefesh shlomim. So we learn that just like the osain bidei adam, person is patur, because that's what the pasuk is saying, av osain om bidei shemayim patur min nefesh shlomim, the same thing, and also in a death that happens bidei shemayim, namely koris, or we'll talk about on Omid Beis, maybe Mrs. Bastin also, would be patur min nefesh shlomim. So that's what Rechonim and Akonah source. Mask for Rabada Ba'ava. How do we know? What are we saying? Yaakov is telling his brothers, I don't want to send Binyamin with you, Penny Anu Offering, because an offering a death might happen to him. What is Yaakov afraid is going to happen? What is he warning the brothers to be careful of? And by implication, later on when they do have to take Binyamin, obviously, you know, he's still nervous about what's going to happen. Yehuda tells him, you don't really have a choice. You know, like this, we're all going to die of hunger. Better you should stick with the Suffolk and at least take care of the Vaday. But obviously, he must have warned them also to be careful that no Osain happens. How do we know when Yaakov is warning the brothers, Al Tzinim Upachim Dibidei Shemayim? How do we know necessarily that he's warning them about the kind of dangers, the kind of death that might come from causes that are Bidei Shemayim? Right now we're assuming that Tzinim Pachim are Bidei Shemayim. What are Tzinim Pachim? Rashi over here says that Tzinim Pachim means heat, means cold and heat. Tzinim Meloshon Tzina. And Pachim, I don't know how the word Pachim comes to mean heat, but okay. In Bava Metzia, there's also a discussion about Tzinim Pachim. Rashi explains it over there a little differently, that Tzinim Pachim means cold winds. Whatever it is, those are Bidei Shemayim. Who says that that's what Yaakov is worried about, that he's telling the brothers to make sure to guard Binyamin against those things? Maybe he's warning them to be careful about staying away from lions or thieves, which is Bidei Adam. Those are things a person is able to keep himself away from. So then you don't have a proof that the word also ever means Bidei Shemayim. It could mean death Bidei Adam. And the Gemara answers back. Because you can be careful and stay away from where the lions go. Tosfos talks about that. We're going to get back to that. The Gemara is going to get to that in a minute. That Aryeh is Bidei Adam. But right now, that's the assumption that Sinim Pachim is Bidei Shemayim. It's something. If it's hot or cold, you can't really help it. But to stay away from lions and thieves, you should be careful to stay on the well-traveled paths. Yeah, but Aryeh also, we're assuming. And the Gemara answers back, what do you think? Alter Yaakov, aho azar, aho loy azar. What do you think? If Yaakov is telling the brothers, make sure to protect him from heat and cold, but you don't have to worry about lions and another? No, of course not. Yaakov, I'll call Miri azar. Obviously, Yaakov is warning them about everything. But yes, the word also may include Bidei Adam, sure, but it also includes Bidei Shemayim. It includes the Tzinim Pachim, which at this point we're assuming are Bidei Shemayim. Now, the question is, Tzinim Pachim Bidei Shemayim, Ninu. What are you telling me then that Tzinim Pachim, that heat and cold, is something Bidei Shemayim? Tanya, what we learn in a Braisa, Hakol be the famous expression, Hakol be deshamayim chutz mitzinim pachim. Everything is in Hashem's hands except for heat and cold. Meaning, Rashi says, if any other kinds of difficulties and sufferings that come on a person is gzeras hamelachu. It's the Eibishter's gzeras. It happened because that's how the Eibishter wanted it to happen. Sinim pachim can happen. It can be that the Eibishter directly caused it and then put you in a situation where you can't help it. But normally, Rashi says, not normally, shapa'amim shabayim b'pshia. Sometimes it comes from carelessness. You're not careful. You don't put on, you don't dress properly for the weather. Shanema, the pasuk says, sinim pachim b'derech ikeshe, that heat and cold are in the paths of a stubborn person. A crooked person, Shema Nafshe Yechakmeham, a person who's careful about his life, will stay away from them. From Sinim Pachim. So we see that Sinim Pachim are considered Bidei Adam, not Bidei Shemayim. You can't blame, if you go out without a proper coat and you catch a cold, you can't blame the Eibishter for that.
Tosfos discusses it a little bit over here that actually sometimes there's a medrash that mentions the pasuk ve'in nista mechamoso, that nobody can hide from Hashem's heat. So Tosfos says, yes, if you're traveling, for example, yeah, and it gets hot, you don't really have a way of protecting yourself necessarily. Here we're talking about where you're at home or you're on your home turf or whatever. Yeah. Tosfos, by the way, also points out another interesting thing. The famous expression that we always say when we think about Kol B'Dei Shemayim, the usual expression we always think of, what's the Chutz Mitzinim Pachim? So Tosfos says the difference is we're talking about how Kol B'Dei Shemayim, Chutz Mitzinim Shemayim is talking about what a person's life is going to be like, whether he's going to be a Yorei Shemayim or not. Everything else is decided. Whether he's going to be a Yorei Shemayim is up to him. Here we're talking about a specific thing that happens to a person, all the specific things, Kol B'Dei Shemayim except for Tzinim Pachim. They do say there's a word from Reb Mendel or Reb Manover who says that actually there's a connection. What do we mean here by tzinim pachim? We don't just mean physical heat and cold. We mean ruchniyistika heat and cold. The ruchniyistika cold appropriate to Purim, asher korcha v'aderech, and the ruchniyistika heat when you're too fahitzed over the things you shouldn't be. That's the kind of thing that's not b'dei shemayim. That's the kind of thing that a person needs to take into their own hand, and that's what we mean hakol b'dei shemayim chutz miyiras shemayim. You're responsible for your ruchniyistika heat and cold, which leads to or away from Yiras Shemayim.
Kol Zamolik,
yeah, very appropriate for him, yeah.
Wow.
Heat would be, so there's the famous Sitter where the Rebbe talks about why the first two makas were Dom and Svadeya. Yeah. Dom is hot, blood is hot and boiling. Svadeya are cold-blooded creatures. The Mitzrayim had two problems. They were too cold towards things that they should be warm and have feelings for, namely Kedusha, and they're too warm towards things of Tumah that they should be cold to. So first the Eibush had to bring a plague of heat, of dum on them, to heat up the aspects of their personality that needed heating up, cold, and then Svadeya to cool down the aspects of their lifestyle that needed to be cooled off. Yes. There's also, by the way, in this connection with Tzinim Pachim, there's a story they tell about Rabbi Chezkel Abramsky, one of the big Gaonim of a couple of generations ago. He was one of the Rabbanim who was still in Russia after the communist revolution. He worked quite a bit together with the Friedrich Rebbe, and eventually they caught him and sentenced him to several years in Siberia. In Siberia, people come there without adequate clothing in the first place, and one of the things that the nachalniks over there, the people in charge, would make the prisoners do is run around in the cold without any proper clothing. That alone killed a lot of them. So Rabbi Chezkel davens, he says, we see in our Gemara, HaKol B'Dei Shemayim Chutz Mitzinim Pachim, he says, B'Med Varim Amurim, when is that talking about? When a person is able to protect himself for that, when he's able to put on a proper coat or whatever. I don't have anything, so it goes back to you. That has to be B'Dei Shemayim as well. He ended up, he spent 3 years in Siberia. Throughout that time, he never even caught a cold. After that, he was freed. Yeah, there was quite a bit of international pressure put on him, and eventually they freed him. Yeah.
Ponovich.
Yeah.
I know he
was
Abramsky,
I think. No? He was. He learned in Ponovich, I think. But he actually at one point applied for the job of Rosh Hashiva in Temkot Mimim in Lubavitch. He writes the story that he went to give a test shiur over there, but apparently they didn't like it, so he didn't get the job. But afterwards, a couple of years after that, when there was a town that needed a rav, then the Rebbe Rashab recommended him for the position.
Oh,
yeah.
Where, Europe?
Yeah, someplace in Russia or whatever. Yeah.
He was in London sometime.
Yeah, later on, after he got out of Russia, yeah, he was in London. Yeah. Okay, so tzinim pachim are not b'dei shemayim, they're very much b'dei adam. The true, and furthermore, what are you telling me? Are you a ganvi b'dei adam? No. What are you telling me that lions and thieves are b'dei adam? V'ha'om Rabbi Yosef, didn't Rabbi Yosef say, v'chein toni Rabbi Chia, mi'yoyim shechora beis mikdash, since the beis mikdash was destroyed, afal pisha batal Sanhedrin, even though the Sanhedrin is batal, and therefore there's no missus based in, abram missus le batal. Nevertheless, abram missus are not batal. What do you mean, like batlu ha-batlu? They are batlu. The Sanhedrin isn't judging dinin nefashis anymore. And by the way, Tosfos points out, it's not really on the face of it, it's not miyom shechor ha-beis mikdash. We know the Sanhedrin went into Golus 40 years before the Churban. Tosfos says, once in a while, if there was a special situation, they would come back to the Lishkas HaGozis to judge a case of dinin nefashis. So it really only completely stopped being done after the Churban, because the din is that dinin nefashis can only be done when the Sanhedrin is sitting in the Lishkas HaGozis. Anyway, Ella, what we mean is din agamisis le batul. The din, punishments that the Eibishter gives the person similar to the agamisis, those are not batul. Namely, mishin is chayev skila. If somebody is chayev skila for an avera, there's no base din. There's no base din to give him skila.
Father's fine. Okay.
Don't worry about you.
Okay, I'll call.
He's gonna
call you.
I'll call
him back. No worries about you.
All right. So mission is chayev skila. Now, what would happen with skila? The way that skila is done is they throw the guy off a cliff. That's twice or three times the height of a person. And then if he's still alive, they pelt him with stones. Therefore, oh no, from an agag. So nowadays, either the person falls off a roof, or an animal claws him, and like an animal, Rashi says, knocks him down and kills him. So that's similar to skila. I saw a vote, by the way. So why with this and with each one of the other things? Why do we have two? We have two examples of each one. In particular, for example, here with skila, you have one that doesn't involve an animal and one that does. The difference is, did the guy have hana from the aveira that he did? If he had hana, then an animal comes and eats him and has hana eating him. Otherwise, if you didn't have enough from it, then there's the roof. Umishin is chayv sreifa. Somebody is chayv sreifa, which what did sreifa consist of? That they poured hot lead down his throat. Oy nofel b'dleifa. Either he gets killed in a fire. Oy nachash makishoy. Or a snake bites him, and the venom of the snake like burns him from the inside out. Umishin is chayv hariga. Somebody was chayv hereg, which is they chop off his head. Oy nimsal amalchus. Either he gets handed over to the government and they execute him. That was the normal way they executed people, is beheading them. Oy listim boin olav, or he gets attacked by robbers and they also kill him by the sword. Umishin is chayv chenek. Somebody who is chayv chenek. Oy tevei abanar. Either he drowns. Chenek consists of that they choke him, they strangle him. Oy tevei abanar. Either he drowns in the river and suffocates. Oy mes besrunchi. He dies from srunchi, which is Rashi says askara. It's a diphtheria. It's a disease that closes up the throat, and therefore the person can't breathe.
Well, choking.
It's some kind of choking disease. Rashi, the word that Rashi uses here, malans, basically means like a growth in the throat.
And it
blocks their way.
I don't remember if we've
come across this before, but Tosfos points out the obvious question. You know, you have many people who do all kinds of terrible avodas and they die natural deaths. And Tosfos says, yes, but the person could do tshuva, and maybe he has some other schus that they have. Unlike Mrs. Bastin, where there's no loopholes like that. If a person's chayev Mrs. Bastin, that's it. They're chayev because they can't see what's in his heart. The Eivishter can. So therefore, not always. So you don't always see it happening. The Rebbe has, by the way, in the back of one of the volumes of the Kodesh Sichos, where there's a bunch of explanations from the Rebbe on Tanya. The Rebbe discusses over there what Tosfos has this question over here about Dalad Mrs. Mastin. The Alter Rebbe has a similar question in Tanya in Egeres HaTshuva about why it is that we see that people are do things that are chayiv karis and they live happy and prosperous lives. And the answer in each case has to be a little bit different. You can't use the same answer for both. Mrs. Bastin, given that we're talking about over here something which is what it is like this. Dr. Debbie explains why is it Taka that you have people who are able to live long lives even though they're chayav kares? Because when the Beis Hamikdash was standing, a yid got his chayav only from kedusha. Therefore, once the kares means the chayav is cut off, therefore automatically the person dies by a certain age. Whereas nowadays we get our chayav from klippas as well, and therefore a person can end up living far longer than that. When it comes to kares, you can use that answer. When it comes to Dalad Mrs. Bastin, you can't use that answer. Dalad Mrs. Bastin has nothing to do with cutting off the person's chayus. So we're saying then that the Bastin themselves doesn't have any leeway in taking away the punishment. The Eibishter does, but how is that? It can only be through tshuva. Right, so that's Alter Rebbe explains, because since nowadays we don't get our chayus only from kedusha, we get our chayus from the klippas as well. So yes, the person may be cut off from kedusha, that's what kares is, but they still have that chayus from klippa. If he was, then you have to use Tosfos' answer over here. But they're two different things, really, because Tosfos is talking about over here that he did tshuva. He has some other schos. In the case of Kardes, it's not even necessarily that. The person may have lived his whole life as a mechuy of Kardes, but because he's getting his chayas from Flippers as well, therefore it's possible for that to happen.
How do people who don't have chassidus?
Okay. Anyway. Ella Epoch. Okay, so we have to flip it around. Ayu Vagan Bibide Shemayim. Okay, so then the lions and the thieves are Bide Shemayim. Sin Mapachim Bide Adam, then the cold and the heat is Bide Adam. Either way.
Cold has Bide Adam?
Yeah, that's what we said before, because a person can control that. You put on better clothes.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah. So therefore, so returning to what we were saying before, we were trying to argue, we said that when Yaakov is telling brothers, Ten Yikra Enu Asa, and he's warning them that there might be a Misa Bidei Shemayim, there might be something Bidei Shemayim, now based on what we just established, it comes out that what Bidei Shemayim is that he might be attacked by lions, or that he might be attacked by lions or thieves. What does it mean? But we said it's not only that. The fact is he's warning them against things Bidei Adam as well, which includes heat and cold. But okay, he's warning them against everything. He's telling them that I don't want any kind of Asayin to happen. So therefore, that's good enough for us to say that the word Asayin includes something Bidei Shemayim as well as Bidei Adam. We have the pasuk in Mishpatim that only means Bidei Adam. So there you go. That's where Rav Nachum and Akana gets his comparison that Kares is just like Mrs. Bastin as far as Kamli Bidei Adamine. That was Abaya's answer. Rava Alma, time of Rav Nachum ben Akana mehacha. No, he says that he gets his reason from a different pasuk. Pasuk describes person who worships Moloch, who offers his children to Moloch, a whole machlokes is showing him whether it involves actually burning the children or just passing them through a fire. That's not negneir right now. Anyway, the person is chayiv mitzvah for that. The im halim yalimu ama oretz aseinehem mino ishahu. However, the pasuk says if the ama oretz, the people of the land, ignore what's going on over here. They turn away their eyes from this person. V'sitim izara la'molech, when he gives over his children to Molech. So they don't bother doing Mrs. Bastin. V'samtiyani esponai v'ishogu v'mishpachta. So then the Abishna says, I will set my face, or Rashi says actually there, pnaishali, like I'll so to speak set aside everything else that I'm busy with and focus on this guy. V'ishahu, against this person, over mishpachta and his family. V'ichrati oise, and I'll cut him off. I'll give him chorus. So what do we see from that? That Kares is a substitute for Mrs. Bastin. Since the Amma Oretz are not doing their job and giving him Mrs. Bastin, therefore the Eidosh has to take over and do Kares. Amra Torah, Kares Chalik, Kamisa Shalachem. So the Torah effectively is saying that the Eidosh is saying, my Kares is just like the Misa that you're supposed to be giving. Ma Misa Shalachem Patim and Nasa Shulman. So just like when a person is Chayav Misa, is Chayav Mrs. Bastin, then he'll be Patim from paying. Af Kares Chalik, Patim and Nasa Shulman. My Ikka ben Rav al-Abaya, what's the practical difference between them, between the two different Lamudim? The answer is Ikka ben Ayur, Zor she'ochal Truma. What about a case of a Zor who eats Truma? Where, b'mezid, where he doesn't get Kares, then he gets Misa B'dei Shemayim. Now, Misa B'dei Shemayim, he'll be just as dead as with Kares. And actually, we learned in Moed Katan that Misa B'dei Shemayim may even be at a younger age than Kares. It's a different day from that. The difference is, though, that Rashi explains over here that that Kares also includes that his children are punished. The Rashi quotes from Pasuk, Aririm Yihu, that a person who's Chayav Kares also dies childless. Either Rashi mentions in Parshas Kedoshim that either if the person had children, they'll die while he's still alive. If he didn't have children, he'll never have children. Not everybody agrees with that. Other Rishonim say that, no, that's not the Kares does not necessarily, where the Torah spells out Aririm Yihu, Aririm Yamusu, like by some of the Arayas, then yes. Otherwise, generically, Kares doesn't necessarily include this punishment of Ariri. But still, Kares is a more serious thing in that the person's neshama is cut off as opposed to Mrs. Bastin, just means Sam that he dies. Anyway, so a Zor who eats Truma is Chayev Misa B'dei Shemayim. La Abaya Potter or the Rav Chayev. So according to Abaya, he will be Potter from paying, because where is Abaya learning out? From Veloya often. From the word often. Well, often means any kind of death, B'dei Shemayim, including Misa B'dei Shemayim. When Yaakov is worried about Binyamin's safety, he's not worried that he's going to get Kares, he's just worried that he's going to die. So therefore, it includes Misa B'dei Shemayim also. Ula Rav Achayev. So often will include that. Therefore, Rav Nachum ben Akana will say that he's Potter, that he's Potter in that case. Ula Rav Achayev, whereas according to Rav, he will be Chayev, because Rav's limud is from Kares. You can't say because of Kares, well, therefore also Mrs. Bastin is more lenient than Kares. question is, Abaya Potter, what you're telling me according to Abaya Zohar, who eats Truma, should be Potter. V'amr Rav Chista, Moedir Rav Nechoni Min Akana, B'goin of Chalba Yishal Chavei, right? Rav Nechoni Min Akana does agree if somebody steals Chalev that belongs to somebody else, V'achloy, and then he eats it, Shru Chayev, then he will be Chayev, to pay it. Because as soon as he picks up the chaylev, he's already done the issue of gneva. At that point, he has the responsibility to return it or to pay back for it. What? The chaylev. Because that's a typical example of something that's chayev karis.
He ate chaylev.
So he's chaylev, he's chayev karet, but before he ever got to the point of eating it, he already stole it, he's already chayev v'tashlomim. Shekvan is chayev v'gneva, chayev shibali day isu chaylev. He already became chayev in the isu of gneva before he ever came to the isu chaylev, to the isu karet, and even Rav Nechoni Min Akana will agree he's chayev. Alma, which he's chayev to pay. Chaylev is worth money. The pasuk specifically says that you're allowed to have hanah from chaylev, you're also l'chol malacha. Like this, the person could have used it for some purpose or other, so you have to pay him for it. So, by the same logic over here, so therefore, Alma de'midna de'agbe kanye, so we see that as soon as he picks it up, he's koine. On the other hand, mischai v'nafshalei haba de'ochele, he doesn't become mischai v'nafshalei, he doesn't become chayev kares until he actually eats it. And therefore, since the chiyuv tashlumin come before the chiyuv misa, then there's no kam le'bidiravimine. Hachanami, same thing with the truma, be'idna de'agbe kanye, same idea. Once you pick up the truma, then you're koine. Mischayev v'nafshalei haba de'ochele, and you're not mischayev v'nafshalei until you're not chayev mitzvahs based in until you eat it. So why would Abaye say you're potter? The answer is hachav ma'askin and tochin shetochav lechaver l'seich piv. Yes, but you could be talking about a case over here where somebody else stuck it into his mouth. So he didn't pick it up. He was never koine it. When does he become chayev? When he's swallowing it. At that point, he becomes chayev to pay for the truma because he's chayev. Rashi says, "Dmei hanoyas meyav." He's not actually chayev at that point. The value of the original chaylev or truma. What he's chayev is the value of how much hana he got from it.
Someone put it in, he's not.
Well, that's what we're going to get to it in a second. We're going to get to it in a second. We'll get to in a second. Are we talking about that somebody put it into his mouth with his consent or not? We'll get back to that in a second. Wait.
Why not the real vote of the chaylev?
What?
Why not the real vote? That's for the chaylev.
So Rashi says because what happens because once it's put into his mouth, at that point at that point it's not really worth its original value anymore. It's miyusif. Yeah. So therefore, so the person who put it into his mouth so you have two different people. One person put it into the other one's mouth. We're talking about the chiyuv of the person who ended up swallowing it.
Right.
We're saying when he swallows it, at that point it doesn't have a value anymore. It doesn't have the same value anymore.
Maybe he has to swallow just to be able to breathe. I mean.
We'll get back to that point in a second. Actually, before we talk about that, let's first learn the Gemara. So then the mitzvah of tashlumin come at the same time. The fact that he has to pay for the truma because he enjoyed it, and the fact that he's chayav mitzvah b'dei shemayim for eating it happen at exactly the same time. Okay, the question is, so if given to last say Kanye, why? I mean, there's something in between. We're talking about somebody stuck it into his mouth, but we're not yet talking somebody stuck it down his throat. We'll get back to that in a minute. Right now, we're assuming that somebody just put it into his mouth. Well, before you eat it, you chew it. Given to last say Kanye, once you chew it, you're already cutting it because you're doing something with it in your mouth. Your mouth is considered is your rishus. So once you're chewing it, you're kayim. It's chayev v'nafshalei haba debala, and you're not chayev the issur of eating truma and the mitzvah for eating truma until you actually swallow it. Somebody else put it into your mouth, you could have spit it out. The fact that you chewed it on the face of it means that you've done an issur gneva. Now at that point you swallow it. Now you're also chayev mitzvah. But it's not mitzvah, there has to be mitzvah tashlumin boin te'echad, that the chiyuv mitzvah and the chiyuv to pay come at the same time. Here it's not. The answer is, Grinch Tochav Leila says beis ablia. Okay, but we're not just talking about somebody stuck it into his mouth. The other person stuck it into his throat. Well, now the question is, hey, dummy, what are we talking about? Idim Motzi La'adura, if he's able to get it back out, nihadar, then he has to do that. And if not, then he is chayev, because he could have spit it out at that point. Eloi matzila adura amai chayev. And if he can't, then why is he chayev? It's an oinus. Yes. The answer is, no, because it doesn't necessarily block his airway, if that's what you were thinking of. Because we've learned before, ein beis abliya machzik yosim beis tanagolus, that the beis abliya, the throat where a person swallows, can hold something the size of an egg. That's why the size of a kabeza. You chayev for truma from a kazayas already, and a kazayas is smaller than a kabeza. So somebody could conceivably stick a kazayas into your throat. It's not blocking your airway or anything,
but you cannot control yourself.
Wait, the answer is, okay, but we're talking about over here, you would be able to get it back up, but it would be al-yad-cha, so it would be difficult.
Right.
Now, what does that mean, though? It means like this. So Rashi says like this, even if you were to spit it back out, at that point, the owner can't use it anymore. It's completely miastic. Unlike before, we were assuming that somebody just put it in your mouth, not necessarily, okay, you know, you could spit it out and it's still, you know, you could wash it off maybe and then still eat it. Here, once it's in the throat already and then you can barely get it back up, then all you're making him chayev for is the fact that he enjoyed the taste, hanas groina yomea, Rashi says, the hana of swallowing it down his throat, and the hana of digesting it, the hana that it's food after all. So he's chayev for that. No, because taste, you don't taste buds back there. Taste buds are on your tongue, basically.
No, we're past the chewing and swallowing.
We said that somebody stuck it directly into his throat.
It's already beyond.
Yeah. So no taste buds, but there's still the hana that he ate food, after all.
There's hana.
What?
How do we know that there is hana? Maybe there is.
The person eats food.
That's putting food.
Doesn't matter. The food is food. It still nourishes the person. So therefore, he's going to be chayev for that. And he's going to be high of payment for that. He's also going to be high of misa again because he could have managed to spit it back out. That's what we're talking about, the case over here. Now, that's one way of, so are we talking about, so Tosfos discusses the idea, are we talking about that the other person put it into his throat against his will or not? The Ri explains in Tosfos, no, we're talking about that you, the one who swallowed it, wanted the other person to do that.
Anyone want someone to put something?
Yeah,
that's
a trick.
If he let him stick it into his mouth.
A trick.
When
both come at the same time.
Nobody wants to.
Wait.
Have something stuck in your
mouth. But the trick, if you do both come at the same time, then you're
no, first of all, yeah. First of all, we're talking more of. That's Halitani. No, yeah, it's poured down my throat. That's true, actually. Yeah, I hate that. He wanted Yaakov to pour the lentil soup down his throat. Yeah. Besides that, also, I mean, you could construct scenarios. Imagine, for example, I mean, we just were talking about taste buds. Imagine that truma, for example, is a really sour tasting fruit. You don't want to taste it on your taste bud, but you want to eat it. So you tell the other person, you know what? Stick it on a skewer over there, like you use for roasting candied apples or whatever, and stick it down into my throat.
If his head was sorry.
You could find scenarios like that.
If it comes together when you pick it up and you swallow it. Then that means that you're chayev, right? But if one comes separate, then
that's
one.
What we're saying. If they come together, that's when you're potter, yeah.
Right, so it's potter.
So we're trying to find a scenario where they come together. So that's one explanation in Tosfos. The other possibility, the Ritzba in Tosfos says that, no, we're talking about the other person stuck it in against his will. But nevertheless, he still has hana. He still has hana from it.
Nourishment.
Yeah, he still has nourishment from it. And again, the answer is la dura idet chak. If he could regurgitate it, then when did he become chayev for both the payment and the mitzvah? When he chooses not to do that, yeah. Now there is the question that you mentioned a couple of minutes ago. Why don't we make the first guy who picks it up chayev for the gzela? On the face of it, if Reuven picks it up and sticks it in Shimon's mouth, why aren't we saying that Reuven is chayev for the gezel? Why are we putting the whole onus on Shimon?
But we said he asked Reuven.
Shimon asked Reuben to stick it in his mouth. Sure, but why isn't Reuben himself? If I ask you to steal something from me, you're chayav for the stealing, not me. Why don't we say over here that Reuben is the one?
Should Adam come and say? But not Levar Aveda.
So why don't we say that? Why don't we say that Reuben over here is the one that's chayav for Gezel? So one answer I saw. So in the Ort Smor Gemara, they refer to a sefer called Imre Moshe, and I looked it up. He said, if I remember correctly, his answer that he gives is we're talking about that the first person. Didn't realize that it wasn't his. It wasn't Gezel. He wasn't picking it up, intending to do Gzela. He didn't realize it wasn't his. The second person does realize. Therefore, he's the one who was on the hook. Yeah.
It wouldn't be the first case where two people do something contentionally and just one gets punished. We saw that with Isha the other day.
Okay. I mean, to go back actually to that, I was looking in some Mepharshim, by the way, about that question. Why don't we punish the girl? One thing is that Evan Ezra says that is similar to what we were talking about yesterday. She's only 12. She doesn't really have complete das yet.
Well, she said she had das too.
Yeah, but the Evan Ezra says that still, you know, her das is not really complete yet. Maybe Avraham Moshe was asking yesterday, why is it that in the case of Pituri, when a man seduces a girl to have relations with him, why are we finding him and not her?
With her consent, he...
So the Ramban puts it a little differently. The Ramban says that in a way she is punished, because what do we say in the case of an onus, we force him to marry her if she's willing to, then we force him to marry her. Like this, in the case of a mafasa, we don't. That itself is sort of a punishment for her, he says, because what happens like this, if she ends up marrying somebody else, like this, he has the choice to just say, no, I don't want to marry you, let me go find somebody else, and she goes and ends up marrying somebody else, that somebody else may think less of her because of the fact that she slept around before she married him. So in a way, that is
not to the extent that he's going to marry her.
No, so that's the thing. So the Torah says that he should marry her, but he has a choice. If he doesn't end up marrying her, then away, that's a punishment for her. The fact that she ends up marrying somebody else who doesn't necessarily treat her with as much respect.
But that case only.
Okay, and then the Evan Ezra says that Pasha, she's a young girl, and b'chiyafate, the Ramban has a long explanation of it, that b'chiyafate means that basically he lies to her and falsely convinces her. So therefore, you know, there's that. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara over here, the point is that there. So now we found an example where misiv etashlum and boin kachon, where a person is chayev for payment for the truma, or not really for the original value of the truma, but at least for the hana that he gets from it, and misiv etashlumayim come at the same time. So that would be the machlokes of Abaye and Rava, whether what Rav Nachuni ben Akana would say about that. Again, according to Abaye, that we're learning from Asain, then he'd be Kasser, because Mitzvah B'Deshamayim and Kares are the same as far as that goes. According to Rava, that we learn it from a case of Kares, then no. That's one answer. Rav Papa Amar, he was a simpler case. Rav Papa says, you should talk of like Chaver and Mashkin, suppose somebody else poured liquids of Truma, like wine of Truma, into his mouth. Food, when it goes into the mouth, doesn't necessarily become so disgusting that if he were to spit it out right then, again, if we went back to the original case, we just put it into his mouth, not down his throat, he could spit it out, it would still be usable by the original owner, he could rinse it off. But with wine, that doesn't happen. As soon as you put it in his mouth, it becomes mucus. So at that point, what can you be mechayev him for? The fact that he enjoyed the taste and the alcohol and whatever. And again, Mr. Betashlum and Boyin Kacha, the two things happen at the same time.
The wine, you said, is miastik, so why should he throw it out then?
No. If he were to spit it out at that point, then he's gotten himself out of Mr. Betashlum. He hasn't drunk wine of Truma as a czar. You can't use it anymore. Okay, so... No, Tacham just means you put it. He poured it, let's say.
If he
lets himself swallow it, then he's chayiv misa and he's chayiv tashlumin at the same time. So that's Rav Papa's answer. Rav Ashi Yama, here's the third possibility. Because the previous case we were talking about food. For example, we find a difference with this as far as food and drink. We find this in another area of halacha as well. We know what's the din if a person puts food into his mouth and then realizes he didn't say the bracha. if it's food that you can spit out and not have it be so disgusting that you wouldn't eat it again, then you do that. You have to spit it out, say the bracha with an empty mouth, and then put it back into your mouth. As opposed to if it's liquid, you can't do that. Then you just you sort of move it over into one side of your mouth and make the bracha. Similarly over here, once somebody poured liquid of truma into it, again, if he himself had poured it, he'd be chayev as soon as he picked up the keli. But since somebody else poured it in, and that somebody is not chayev gzela for whatever reasons we talked about, then the person himself who has the liquid in his mouth, the gzela happens only when he swallows it. And the miss happens only when he swallows it.
But for me, it's how I might...
What?
Disgusting, even if he didn't swallow.
Yeah, but at that point, so you can't be mechayev him for gzela. Well, you can't be mechayev him for gzela when he swallows it, because at that point it's already disgusting. All you can be mechayev him for is again hanoach groin umeir, that his throat enjoyed it and his stomach enjoys it. Rav Ashi Amar, a third possibility. Let's forget about the idea we were talking about until now that the zor is eating truma that belongs to a kohen. Suppose not. Suppose the truma still belongs to the czar. He set it aside. He hasn't yet brought it to the kohen. So there's no gzela involved over here. It's called mamon she'en lo tovin. It's money that there's no specific owner for it yet. So therefore, you're not chayev for gezel for eating it. But at the same time that he ate it, the kara shiroin shachavere. At the same time, he ripped somebody else's clothing while he's swallowing it. So there you have an example. Misif tashlumin v'in kachad. At the same moment that he becomes chayev misif for the truma, he becomes chayev tashlumin for his friend's clothes. Now you would have the machloekas. Is Mr. B'nei Shemayim included in that rule or not? Now, we're talking about a case where it's called Misa Ve'echad, it's called Misa Lazev Tashlum and Lazev. The one he's Chayev Misa for eating truma that belongs to himself. He's Chayev Tashlum to somebody else. Are we saying that would become Libidid Abimine? Rav Ashi is saying yes. So the reason why Rav Ashi is mentioning this kind of case, otherwise he could have mentioned that he's eating somebody else's truma and ripping somebody else's clothes and ripping that same person's clothes. But he said it the way that he did in order to stress this idea that he himself holds that misav lozev tashlum and lozev, where the misav is because of what you did to one person and the tashlum is because of what you did to somebody else, it still goes into the general rule of kum libe de rabbi mineh, and therefore it's subject to machlokes abaya and rava, where we learn Rabbi Nachman ben Akana's din from. And Tosfos points out that actually, there's a different Gemara. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that talks about this idea of Mitzvah Lozev Tashlum and Lozev, where it's actually a Machloikas. But Tosfos says that the Machloikas over there is about Edim Zoyim. And when it comes to other cases, yes, everybody might well agree that Mitzvah Lozev Tashlum and Lozev is considered Kam Levi Zidav Aminei. And that would be the point that Rav Ashi is trying to make over here.
Yeah, separate.
Well, first of all, you have to realize that we're talking about over here within Rav Nachunya ben Akana, who says that Kares is just like Mrs. Bastin in this regard. The halacha, I don't believe the halacha is like him on that. But as far as which of these answers do we accept, it could be that all of these answers are correct. Yeah.
Come on, brother.